It's my pleasure today to introduce our governor, Chet Culver.
Great, thank you. Thank you very much. Well, thank you very much, and I really appreciate the Des Moines Register giving us the chance to visit a little bit with all of you here this afternoon about the great state of Iowa and about Iowa's future. I want to start by introducing the Lieutenant Governor. Patty Judge is with us. Thank you, Patty, for your great work. On behalf of the Culver Judge Administration every day, I want to introduce my other partner in terms of all of the work that we've been able to accomplish over the last 3.5 years, my wife, Mary, who has a great staff of women and shelter services across Iowa. Thank you, dear, for all of your wonderful work. And also thanks for being an incredible mother to our children. Claire, if you could stand, and John are with us today, now 7 and 9 years old. So Team Culver is out today enjoying the Iowa State Fair, and what a wonderful fair it's been so far. A Culver tradition for a long time. I used to come out here as a kid when my dad and mom would spend time here, and it's just great to carry on this tradition. In fact, I've camped out one night already with the kids. We're going to be camping out another night out here. The Lieutenant Governor is also spending a lot of time here and enjoying the campgrounds as well. So welcome to all of you to the Iowa State Fair 2010, the greatest fair on earth. And I want to thank the fair board, all of the volunteers, the professional staff here, Gary Slater and the whole team just do an amazing job. So we are very, very fortunate to have the best fair in America, and so glad that so many have come out once again in 2010 to support it. First of all, it's been a real privilege and honor to serve as governor of this great state. I have truly enjoyed the opportunity. I've loved every minute of being the governor of this fantastic state, and we've had a tradition in our family of public service, and I am doing all I can every day to get the job done, to advocate, and to help people across this state. I want to start by saying that there's been a lot of criticism. There's been a lot of questions about things that we've done or that we've not done, whether it's by my political opponents or by the press corps and our friends in the media. And I want to say that some of that criticism is justified, and that we have made our fair share of mistakes. And I take full responsibility for those things that have happened in various state agencies. They happened on my watch, and I take responsibility for those mistakes that have been made. And that's important for people to understand, that I realize that we haven't been perfect. But I want you also to know that we've given it 100% every single day in office under some extraordinarily challenging times for our state. The extraordinary challenges. We've dealt with a historic economic downturn, the likes that we've not seen since the Great Depression. Too many jobs have been lost. Too many people have lost their benefit or their pension, maybe their insurance. I understand that people are suffering. There's been a lot of pain over the last several years, not only in Iowa, but across America. We've also been hit with the worst natural disaster in our state's history, not only the floods of 2008, but again, as we speak, in 50 Iowa counties, we're having very serious challenges related to historic flooding again. Just yesterday, the federal government declared 29 of our Iowa counties presidential disaster areas, which means we've got to turn those FEMA programs back on, those Small Business Administration programs back on. And I want you to know that I will work tirelessly to help those impacted communities, those business owners, those farmers, and those homeowners that have lost so much in places like Ames and Colfax and dozens of other communities across our state. And our administration is focused and committed, just like we were in 2008, to help those individuals and those communities that have been hit by these disasters. And I'll be out spending a lot of time, as I was this weekend, doing all I can to lend a helping hand and to lend our support. I also want you to know that we've worked very hard. I've been to Cedar Rapids, Iowa, nearly 100 times fighting on flood recovery efforts. And I have continued to do everything in my power every day as governor to get the job done and to get this state moving forward. And so despite some of the mistakes, despite some of the challenges in historic proportions that we've dealt with, we're still moving Iowa forward. We are still moving this great state forward. In fact, Iowa was recently recognized as being the fourth best place in America to do business by Forbes magazine. Our unemployment rate, while too high, is 3 percentage points below the national average, the eighth lowest in America today. Too many people have lost their homes, but our foreclosure rate is 42nd in the nation. We're number one in America in renewable energy, now producing 20% of our power from renewable sources, up from 5% 3 years ago. We've continued to get things done despite the challenges that we've been dealing with, and our record reflects that. First of all, I think it's appropriate here at the State Fair on Veterans Day to pay tribute to our veterans, those in uniform, and their families. And our administration has a record of supporting our troops and our military families. In fact, we became this legislative session the first state in America to pass the top 10 recommendations from the Department of Defense to support our troops and our veterans and our military families across this state. No other state has done more when it comes to supporting our troops. We've also fought for our children, my kids and your kids. We've expanded access to health care for 57,000 kids in the last 3.5 years that otherwise didn't have health care in January of 2007. 23,000 more children are going to preschool this fall that weren't going 3.5 years ago because we've made a commitment to preschool. We have led the way in terms of fighting for hardworking Iowa families, raising the minimum wage for the first time in 15 years to help 400,000 hardworking Iowans across this state. So our record, whether related to renewable energy, fighting for kids, expanding access to health care, has been a very good one, despite some challenges along the way. But one of the things that we're most proud of is after we were hit with these challenges, we had a choice. We could stand still and wait and hope that things got better someday in the future, or we could take action, we could take control of our own destiny and do something immediately to help on flood recovery, to help on economic opportunities for Iowans. That's why we passed the Iowa Jobs and Infrastructure Initiative in 2009, to invest in our state's future, to make Iowa the best connected state in America, to make sure that we helped communities like Cedar Rapids and Iowa City and Coralville recover faster from the devastating floods of 2008. More than $330 million in iJobs funds have gone to flood recovery in eastern Iowa and other parts of this state that were hit with those floods. So I believe in helping those communities that were impacted by these floods. And the fact is they need money. They need resources. We can't have bake sales across eastern Iowa to come up with the funds necessary to help these communities rebuild. So the state of Iowa, the Democrats in the legislature stood up and decided to pass, at my urging, the Iowa Jobs and Infrastructure Initiative. We also have created more than 7,000 jobs through the Iowa Jobs and Infrastructure Initiative. 7,000 Iowans were employed on those projects in June of this year. This is a 3-year commitment, 1,700 projects in 99 counties, and we're only 6 or 8 months into the first cycle of those economic development, flood recovery, and job creation efforts. Over the life of the iJobs initiative, we will create more than 20,000 jobs in those 99 counties. We've also continued to support our renewable energy sector in this state. We have supported our biofuels industry by advocating for things like the biofuels tax credit. We fought in Washington to expand the biodiesel tax credit, and we have fought to help that $8 billion industry, which has created more than 50,000 jobs across this state. We also feel good about the fact that we have brought companies to this state, like IBM, Google, Microsoft, that weren't here 3 years ago. Working through the Iowa Department of Economic Development, we have partnered with 251 businesses to bring jobs to this state during tough economic times. Those companies like IBM and Google or Microsoft are picking Iowa for a reason. This is the best state in America. This is the safest state in America. This is the best connected state in America. Our quality of life is second to none. And businesses, large and small, are recognizing that fact. And they're not only coming from across the country to put their roots in Iowa, they're coming from all over the world. We've recruited 9 wind energy companies to come to this state to build the towers and the turbines and the blades to power our state's energy future. So I feel good about a lot of the things that we've been able to accomplish. I acknowledge the fact that we've made our fair share of mistakes along the way, and we've learned from those mistakes. Now, on November 2nd, the people of this state have a choice that they're going to have to make. And the choice is pretty simple. Are we going to move this state forward? Are we going to continue to move forward, or are we going backwards to the last century? I believe by November 2nd, the voters of Iowa will decide to continue to move this great state forward. And the choice is clear. The choice is clear on every fundamental issue that matters to the people of this state. Number one, let's talk about the budget. Let's talk about the budget. We have a AAA bond rating. We have $500 million in our cash reserves. And despite a lot of rhetoric, the budget has been balanced every single day that I've been governor, and it's smaller today. It's smaller today than it was the day we started the job. Now you contrast that to Terry Branstad, who was accused of keeping 2 sets of books for 10 years by the Republican state auditor, Dick Johnson, who borrowed $4.3 billion, $4.3 billion to bond, and he borrowed to pay the bills for short-term borrowing. Contrast that with what we've done. We have the second lowest debt in America today, and we have borrowed 1/4 of the amount of money that Terry Branstad borrowed. So when it comes to budgets and keeping the books, we will continue to do that in our second term. Number 2, research. Research matters in this state. I'm proud of the fact that we lifted the ban on embryonic stem cell research on my watch as governor, so that we can provide hope to those suffering with diabetes and Alzheimer's and Parkinson's in this state. Terry Branstad wants to put that back in place, that ban on embryonic stem cell research, and that will take us back on the vitally important issue related to research. The other issue is alternative energy. You'll have a choice on November 2nd. We have invested $100 million in the Iowa Power Fund so that Iowa can become the Silicon Prairie of the Midwest, so that we can continue to lead America in terms of renewable energy. And we've done that in part because we have brought companies from all over the world to our state so that we can study and do the research and development on the second and third generation renewable energy technologies of the future in places like Shenandoah today, where we're growing algae and we could become the first state to have a commercially viable algae plant there. In Emmitsburg, well, we're working, thanks to the Iowa Power Fund, on the first commercially viable cellulosic ethanol plant. In Hiawatha, where we're moving forward on a state-of-the-art solar project. The choice is, are we going to continue to go forward in terms of renewable energy and the research and development related to our energy future and making sure that we secure it? Or are we going to go backward with Terry Branstad, who says he wants to cut the funding for the Iowa Power Fund? That's another clear choice on November 2nd. Number four, I believe in this state, we need to do all we can to bring people together. It's important to have a big tent. I think we need to stand up for women's rights. I think we need to stand up for workers' rights. I think we need to stand up for civil rights in this state as well. Yeah. Terry Branstad wants to go backwards. He wants to impose a law, the Oklahoma law, on women in Iowa that would require them to have a health care procedure that would be unconstitutional and invasive when they make a choice about their own health care decisions. That's going backward. We need to go forward on women's rights. On workers' rights, we need to respect the fact that labor and management in this state have the right to bargain collectively, that it's okay to move forward on important things like prevailing wage and doctor's choice to allow workers in this state to have the right to bargain collectively. And that's a difference, because Terry Branstad has said he wants to take us backwards on workers' rights, because he said he will stop any and all efforts related to any labor reform initiatives. I respect the judicial branch of our government as well. I respect their independence. I might not agree with every decision that they make, whether state or at our U.S. Supreme Court, but I respect the fact that we have three branches of government. I support their decisions, and I want to continue to make sure we select judges in an independent and impartial way. Terry Branstad wants to go backwards in terms of the independence of the third branch of government. Now, finally, an issue that we all care passionately about, and that's our children. If we do nothing else in our lives as citizens of this state, we want to make sure that we leave our state better off for our children than when we found it. And the best way for us to do that, in my opinion, is to invest in our kids through preschool opportunities across Iowa. We need to make sure that every child, every four-year-old in this state, has a fair chance, has an equal opportunity to go to preschool. The problem is, tens of thousands of Iowa families don't have $500 a month to send their child to preschool. So right now, we have too many young people that are being shut out of that opportunity that could change their future by giving them a fair shot. Terry Branstad wants to cut funding, state funding, for preschool that would take preschool away from 23,000 children. I say no, we're not going backwards when we are talking about a commitment to our children. We're going forward, and we will expand those preschool opportunities so that every four-year-old in this state in my second term has access to preschool, like my kids and your kids deserve. And those are some of the choices that we have, folks. On November 2nd, there's a lot going on. People continue to have challenges. But I ask you respectfully for your support and your vote on November 2nd, because it's a clear choice of going forward into the 21st century, where Iowa can continue to lead in renewable energy and health access for adults and children, and women's rights and civil rights. We are not going backwards, not on my watch, and with your help we won't, because we're going to win this race. One voter at a time, one neighborhood at a time, one city at a time, and I need you to stand with me so we make sure we protect our rights, that we maintain, and we will fight to keep this great state going forward. Yes, we will. Thank you very much. Thank you, folks.